It is Good Morning Ozarks, the last portion of this day before Thanksgiving, and I could not think of a better guest for me this morning to wrap up some things about the United States of America and thankfulness. And I'm going to tell you what I said to my good friend Bobby Charles. And Bobby Charles, you got to remember, he's a good small town home in Maine, former Assistant Secretary of State to Colin Powell, rest his soul. Worked in the Bush administration, and we love to come on here and we talk about political things. But here's what I just sent to Bobby. I said to Bobby, okay, I'm going to play music till you call. I'm going to take a total new twist to talk about family, Thanksgiving, and all the positive things we have in the United States of America, despite the tyranny and the political upheaval that we feel. Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. I really appreciate being on, and I always appreciate your introductions, and as you know, the AMAC generation, working for AMAC, and people can go to AMAC.us. I have a piece coming out tomorrow on the first Thanksgiving and the things we should take away from the first Thanksgiving. But you know, we're all blessed, even though we look at the situation today around the world, and we look at our situation at home, and we have lots of things that we can be critical of, and we should be critical of, but at the same time, we're very lucky.
Bobby Charles, let me tell you, before you came this morning on the program, and I know it's like when I'm talking to my kids or talking to my wife and say, podcast, podcast, podcast. When you get the time and sit down and go back to this morning's podcast with the head of the Pilgrim Hall at Plymouth Rock, who spent 45 minutes with us as a historian, unfolding the very, very first in 1620 of exactly what happened. You're going to get some nuggets there, Bobby, that are just invaluable about what happened at Plymouth Rock.
You know, it's interesting. Just two quick thoughts for you. One is my family got over here in the 1640s on my mother's side and 1730s on my father's side. And there's a great, I don't know what I want to call it, but a shaft of light, let's say, that gets cast forward from that time. And, you know, you forget that this Thanksgiving that we celebrate, which was a giving of thanks to God for having literally survived that year, and frankly, I think something like 58% of the women or more died the first year, so that it was literally 400 years ago this year that it all happened. But you think about it for a minute, that event was a very short period of time. I think maybe in total it lasted some 3 days. And here we are 400 years later, thinking about it, talking about it, and remembering the meaning of it. And I thought to myself, one thing that we don't think about much and we don't talk about much was the Native Americans that were there, the local tribe, actually outnumbered the settlers, I think, 2-1. But they were, someone had to extend a hand. Someone had to say, let's have this harvest festival together. They had shared planting grounds. Let's do this. And on the other side, someone had to say, yes, let's do this. And I think there's the lesson that's missed, the lesson within the lesson, is the idea that sometimes someone who's a stranger, you know, the sort of epic stranger to whom you extend a hand, if they accept that hand, if they don't, you've tried. But if they do, something really epic can happen. And that's really what happened there.
Donna Curtin is the curator, our caller of the Plymouth Hall. And she brought up exactly what you just said. And on that day, as you just mentioned, there were twice as many Wampanoag as there were pilgrims. And somebody had to extend that hand. But she also brought something up currently. And we also brought up the fact that people that want to shut down history, it is history. And I ask about do we really feel like the lands were stolen from the Indians? And she had a great answer to that. In Plymouth Rock right now, tomorrow, there are two celebrations. The Native American people will be back, kind of a time of mourning for them, all at the same place. And also from the tyranny that the Saints, as they were called, by the way. Saints were what they were called when they came here, because they came here to have religious liberty.
Right.
But as you said, someone stuck out their hand and said, let's sit down here across this table and let's thank each other for what we have. We're living today through these times. Well, you know what? I could sit here and I could give you 20 items, whether it has to do with looting or woke culture or you name it, but I want to talk to you about what it's like to be a small boy from Maine.
I have to tell you where I'm talking to you. I'm in that town right now in Maine, and I'm walking around outside. It's a little on the chilly side, but I'm walking around outside down near the mill pond. This is a town where World War II vets, and you know this book, Eagles and Evergreens, that I did was sort of a celebration of small town values and also these World War II veterans that had an influence on us. But I just had a breakfast at the general store. This is the way we do things here. I had a breakfast at the general store and talked with all the locals, and they talked with me, and nobody was any more special than anybody else, but everybody was special. And that's the gist of a small town, is to remember that, I don't know, that, you know, the modern phrases are things like an attitude of gratitude, but I think it's much more basic than that. You remember that everything you do in life really is in many ways a reflection of the love that others have shown you, and that's why you keep doing that. And that's, you do it within your family, and you remember it at Thanksgiving. But frankly, in a small town, in a town like this one, which has only 500 people, in truth, it's really much more like a large family. And there's an extraordinary sense of being, I don't know, fortunate. If you can have some friends around you, any number of friends, that you appreciate, they appreciate you, and if they need something, you're there for them, and the same way, the other way around. And to me, that's one of the great binding forces of America. It's probably true all over the world, but it's especially true here where we share a lot of freedoms and we help each other share those freedoms. So it's why we listen to each other. It's why the First Amendment exists. It's why we encourage each other to worship and have our faith and not be afraid of that. It's why we allow ourselves to defend each other and defend our families and all of those things that go into the Bill of Rights. I mean, that's the First and Second Amendment, but the Fifth and the Sixth and all the way up through are important. And I think we sometimes just forget that. And maybe Thanksgiving is a time when you not only remember the day itself and your family, but frankly also a lot of the friends that have made it possible for you to be able to do everything you've done in life.
I want you, Bobby, as you're looking around where you live.
Yep.
And I want you to look around for just a minute at the outdoors that you've got, and there's a verse that stands on Silver Dollar City and their chapel. And as you look out, it says, I look to the hills to see where my strength comes from the one who created it all. And I want you to take just a minute as you're looking out to past your house and where you live and think of the muck and the mire that's in Washington, D.C. and around you, and take that fresh, deep breath of Maine air into your lungs and say there is a freshness. I want to close with a story and then let you finish. There was a king that brought a young man in from the hillside who had no parents. And he was kind of an old shepherd boy, and he brought him to the king's table. And he asked his servants to take him and clean him up and to dress him up and to get him ready and bring him to the table, which they did. And so every night he was expected at dinner time at a certain time, and then afterwards he would see him leave. And the king, as in any political type thing, said, uh-oh, the guy's trying to take over my kingdom. So what he did was he followed him. And when he followed him, Bobby, he opened up this door, and when he opened up the door, he startled the young man, and he looked up at the king and said, King, what's going on? He said, well, I want to know, where do you go every night after dinner? And he looked, and his old shepherd's clothes were still laying in a chair in the room. And he said, I come here every night, King, after dinner, and I thank the Lord for what I have. And I look at these old shepherd's clothes because I never want to forget what I was. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to remind you and I never want to forget what we were, Bobby. Thank you so much. You want to close, please?
What a great lesson, and what a lesson that is as timely today as when that story was first unfolding. Look, my father never went to college. He was enlisted in the military, and he's buried at Arlington. And I came. You know, my mother was a school teacher who, on her own, raised four kids, and we all on and off and did our own things. But were it not for the love of both family and this town, it would not be possible for me to be able to be talking to you today, and from the vantage point of all the things that have happened that are good in my life. I always find it fascinating, and as you know, I work in Washington a lot, that people climb up to a microphone and take credit for everything that they think they're doing and that they've done, and they all kind of pound their chest. And what they never say, and it's true 100, not 99, 100% of the time, is that all the good that they're able to do, whatever they think they're doing, is a product of others having invested in them. It's not, we do nothing on our own. We do everything by virtue of others having had the trust and faith and love and willingness to think of us first. And so that's really the burden on us, is to think of others that way. Think of others first. Mentor young people that need help. Be patient enough to listen to someone who really is off on the wrong path, but you listen to them, you give them the respect so that they in turn can learn from you and learn from your life experience. And honestly, I think that's the way faith works too. You know, you can't legislate faith, and you can't legislate love, and you can't legislate love of country. But what you can do is you can teach it by your example, and then all of a sudden, the light goes on, and people say, I am so lucky. I am so fortunate. And maybe that's what we'll say around the Thanksgiving table this year.
Do they serve turkey up in Maine, or do you have to eat ham or deer?
They do. They not only serve it, but they shoot both of them and serve it.
Hey, Bobby Charles, it is amazing how God has put things together. For a man I've never met, I feel that you're a great friend of mine. And as this hit me as we're walking through the program this morning, and we had Miss Curtin just unveil for us since 1620, and knew you were coming on the program. We weren't ready for you at 7:30. You talk about how God works things out. I am so glad. May God bless you and your family. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the stupidity of the White House and those type of things when we come back. But today, it's all to be thankful and gracious. God bless you, Bobby Charles.
Thank you, Charlie, and everybody that's in your listening audience. I feel grateful just that you're out there and doing what you're doing. So thank you for reaching back.
All right, buddy. God bless you. See you.
Yes, sir. Yep. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.